Well, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You have the Bible? I'm going to ask you to follow along with me as I read the text. I was taught at Crystal Bible College by great professors, and Tom Lake, a great professor, taught me as a young preacher, Dr. Crystal, up here at West Madison. I didn't know what expository preaching was, but God called me to preach. But I realized that's what I've been listening to my whole life. Dr. Chris will take a test and just preach from that text and deal with it verse by verse. And that's what I'm going to do this morning by the grace of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. So keep the Bible open and be sure I'm preaching it right out of the Bible. And hey, listen, I just had cataract. I had two cataract surgeries. I had about 3 weeks apart. And I didn't realize that when you get cataract surgery, how many had cataract procedure? I didn't know if it was correct my vision. I mean, it came out there with probably when I got through dropping all the drops in there and stuff, I didn't even need to have glasses. But I did find out I had to have these readers, you know. I thought I'd got a follow-up in the morning at my optometrist to be sure things were going good. But I thought when after I got through, they gave me some big glasses because I'm having trouble reading things up close. And they said, no, you've got to wait about 7 or 8 weeks because your eyes will continue to get well. We give you glasses now, then they're not reading them in 8 weeks because your eyes are just going to continue to improve. I thought, well, that's a good idea, but what do I do in the meantime? I can't what you guys to do is get you some weak readers. So I can't even read one verse in the Bible right here without taking these. I'm going to change gears here right quick. So I could actually see that. Hey, where y'all going? I don't even see myself that way anymore. But I can sure see the scriptures. And so, look at me in the Bible. You're glad to be in the house of God. Would you say amen? And Dr. Harry Ironside said, it's hard to have revival without brother and sister, amen, in the crowd. And brother and sister, well, I, in the crowd. We need some amens back in our churches, amen. We need some tears back in our churches. One great preacher said, if we Baptists would let a little more water come out of our eyes, our heads wouldn't swell up so big. Amen. So I'm apologizing for tears in these things. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, 1, thou therefore, my son, isn't that sweet? My son, he calls him. My son, be strong in the grace. Brother Nick was talking about what the kids had been thinking about. They had no idea what I was preaching this morning. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Not something new, not something waiting for some kind of new bandwagon, but the same things you heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now look at this. Who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, amen, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our Father in Jesus' name, we thank you with all of our soul and our being today for this day you've made. Lord, giving us another day, another opportunity to come to the house of God. We're mindful of those who are in hospitals and in home. We've got like my wife who can't get out right now. But Lord, thank you for those who are able to watch by means of the technology of this live streaming. I pray wherever they are, in their home, their office, their living room, their bedroom, in a nursing home or whatever, God, be with them. And Lord, may they experience and know your divine presence right now, Father. Thank you that we can open the Word of God together this moment, as so many thousands of churches around the world today, thousands and thousands of churches on this Lord's Day, the Bible is being preached in the central time zone up and down this nation. And so, God, I thank you for Bear Creek Baptist Church. I thank you for the man of God that fills this pulpit week in and week out. Thank you for the impact Brother Nick has and is having on this church and what he's had at Old Willow Road for those many years and in each of our lives. Well, we praise you for that today. And we thank you now, Lord, for the Word of God that we can freely open it today. And Lord, I pray you'll take this message, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll enlighten our minds and our hearts. Lord, I heard your servant say, a preacher can preach the truth, but only the Holy Spirit can impart the truth. Amen. And so I pray that you'll impart these truths to our hearts with the word of God. When we realize when we open the Bible, it's opening the mouth of God. Lord, we receive this as from your very lips, because it is the eternal and inerrant and infallible word of God. I thank you for each person here, these precious young people, and up to the senior adults. Thank you for every faithful member, and be with our guests today, and again, those watching. I pray that every Christian here would leave here different than we walked in, but we'll leave here closer to you, more consecrated to you, more filled with your spirit than we walked in, but Lord, more dedicated to living for you, God. We ask you to move in these services now. Speak through the preaching and bless the invitation that will come as we make decisions from your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. And amen. I'm preaching this morning a message out of the title, The Christian Soldier. The Christian Soldier. I should have just entitled it The Good Soldier, because I think it says in verse 3 of our text that it says, in your heart, it says, The Good Soldier. And that's an unusual corollary, an unusual comparison, an unusual metaphor that the Lord uses in it, comparing us as Christians to soldiers. To soldiers. The Word of God is filled with those type of metaphors and comparisons. Now, you remember Jesus, in another place in Scripture, Jesus compared us to fishers of men. He's a fisherman. He said, but you're fishers of men. Remember, Jesus, the Lord, must have an affinity for fishermen because he calls some fishermen to preach right away. Amen. And so Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So that's another metaphor, another comparison in helping us understand what Jesus wants us to be. And then, of course, he says, remember in Matthew chapter 5, church, he said that we're to be salt. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Isn't that something? That salt purifies, salt improves things, salt adds flavor. You ever tried to eat watermelon without salt? Watermelon is good without salt. You put a little salt on it, it sure makes that watermelon better. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or tomato, either one. We're to be salt in this. We're to make this world better by our Christian influence. And then he says that same text, we're to be light. That's why that church last week in San Angelo, they sang this a lot of time every night. Whatever else we sang, the congregation was singing was, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But today we're dealing with this text, dealing with the fact that the Lord compares our work as a Christian, our walk as a Christian, to that of a soldier. But that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because the Bible says in other many texts that we are in spiritual warfare. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, we're in a spiritual battle. I mean, when God's some of these preachers that preach this thing, you come to Jesus, you won't have any more problems and all that. Listen, I don't be so bold as to tell you, if you're not saved, you get saved, not only are you still going to have problems, you're going to have some new problems.
Amen.
Amen. But I think what Joe also had, there's some haste to say, you may have some new problems, but you're going to be a new creature in Christ, and he's going to help you through. He's going to walk with you through everything you face. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here to tell you today we are in a spiritual battle. The battle is between our Heavenly Father, our Lord God, and the enemy is Satan himself, that dirty rock devil. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil.
Amen.
Man, I think he knows. He's not omniscient like the Lord is, but the devil knows. He's read this Bible. He knows this Bible, but there's some theologians. But I've heard more things out of his mouth that makes sense than some of these theologians that are messed up.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is, the devil knows his days are numbered. I think that's why he's unleashed every demon. You know, when most of us were younger, sin and sinners were kind of subtle about it. And Satan, that works of Satan was subtle in America. I mean, there's always been a lot of demonic activity overseas, but in America, but now in every major city, we have a church that's a 501c3 satanic church. They meet to worship Satan just like we meet to worship the Lord. They have a tax exemption just like we do for this church because they worship. They're a house of worship, but they're worshiping Satan. And the devil knows that his days are numbered, and our enemy has increased his assaults. He's increased the attacks. And I hope it's not a revelation. If you're a new Christian, I hope this helps you today. Know that the day God saved you, he enlisted you into his army. Amen?
Amen.
You didn't have to. I mean, you can't opt out to. There's no draft dodges when it comes to Jesus. Amen? I mean, you're saved. You're a child. You're a soldier. So today, when I understand this battle I'm talking about, it's not a physical battle. It's just as real, a war as any other war. The Bible tells us in two parts, particularly in the Scripture, about this warfare that we're fighting. For instance, over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that is, physical, "in the flesh, but mighty, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, thank God, every thought to the obedience of God, of Christ." Now, over in 2 Corinthians, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 6, we find other insight about this battle. He told the church at Ephesus to put on the army, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what soldiers are involved in, armor. And protective gear. Put on the whole armor of God, though, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, listen to this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, people call us radicals and all crazy things and try to compare Christians that believe the Bible is some kind of threat to America. We're no threat to America. I mean, we're not fighting a physical battle. Now, these battles, these battles that are going on, they're manifested sometimes in the flesh. I mean, we see visible examples of what's happening in the battle. But our fight is a spiritual battle. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he says again in verse 13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, you need to stand." You know what I'm reminding you of? You know, if anything else on this message, it's time for some Christians to get over our inferiority complex, get over our wimpy. This culture's trying to whip us down, beat us down. You're just like, and desensitize us. And kind of marginalize the church. But I want to tell you something. This nation wouldn't be here had it not been for the influence of Christians just like you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be under the king's authority over there in England. If some Bible-believing Christians didn't come over here and fight their way to freedom, and soldiers fought for our freedom. Hey, we're having church today because some men and women in this room went to the military and fought in battles. They fought real battles with real bullets and real danger. How many of you served in the military of our nation? I want to honor you. Ray, hey, would you stand up? If you can stand up, stand up. We want to honor men and women. Men and women. Men and women. Men and women. Salute you. We love you. We thank God for you. You're heroes. That's why we're meeting today, young people. Don't you let this bunch of liberals tell you that the police and the army or the military is against us? Listen, how many of these soldiers and those, the government, the people, the God ordained government to punish evildoers? And I'm thankful for you soldiers who literally fought for our freedom to be here. But this battle rages on. And so let me just say with all that preface, my way of prefacing, getting ready, look with me back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I just want you to see what the Word of God says about our responsibility and what it takes to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say one other thing, last thing about that, this battle. Hey, the outcome of this battle is in no doubt. As I sang about a while ago, let's say that song that says, "We read the back of the book and we're on the winning side." Amen. And I've got news today. The outcome of the spiritual battle of who wins this thing. Let me tell you who wins this. Jesus wins. Amen.
Amen.
We're on the winning side today. Oh, I love when you preach all that stuff back and listen. I know it's dark. The Bible says, if you read your Bible, the Bible says in the last days it would be this way. It would get darker and darker, and then would wax worse. There'd be seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, false religions. There'd be a great falling away. There'd be all kinds of calamities. That people would be so cruel that mothers would even have natural affection trying to kill their unborn babies. That's not natural for a woman to want to kill her baby. I got some mother cat that just gave birth to about 7 kittens in my garage while I was gone this week. I don't know that. We got some new kittens. I got some new grandkittens. They're in the garage. With that little mother cat, I went out there this morning to get something out of the garage before we left. A bottle of cooler. And that little mama cat didn't know it was me. And she's frail, just gave birth to 7 youngins. And she jumped up there and turned her body like it was, raised her back. And I'm a big dude, but she little bitty mama cat, and that didn't bother her. If I tried to get close to those cats, she would tore me up or die trying. Because God put in a mother to protect their children.
Amen.
And thank God. I don't think we celebrated enough in Texas. That stop the abortion, this thing that's got the devil's crowd stirred up, that came out of Senate Bill, Senator down there in by our Senate district, who passed that heartbeat bill in Texas that was instrumental in the Supreme Court stopping. The bill doesn't punish women, it punishes doctors who kill a baby. And we ought to celebrate that. Some people may not celebrate that, but I thought, but those of us who went in the pro-life battle for all these years. Man, I worked for Governor President. I worked for Governor Reagan. I worked for some presidential candidates on the Republican side. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. I'm for anybody that's against killing babies. Amen. I'm against anybody that's against any type of injustice. Amen. I said, you can't stop abortion. It's precedent. It's been the law of the land. That's what they said about slavery. They said you can't stop slavery back in the 1800s. The Dred Scott case had been law for years in America, and was legalized slavery. It had been the law of the land for years. But the Supreme Court said no. The Supreme Court says every person in America has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Didn't say every white person. Didn't say every Hispanic person. All of us. There's no partiality in our Constitution. And so, listen, I'm not trying to change your habits, because I know what I'm preaching this morning. Let me tell you something. We said, had to fight a war over it, that the precious black people that were looked on as just a piece of property, that stopped one day. Thank God it stopped. It should have stopped.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. And these people that want to say that about abortion. Well, we've been having abortion legalized since 73. We can't change that. Listen, if it's a bad law, it's got to be changed, amen. But it took some soldiers fighting that battle, didn't we? I'm not there on the front lines at those abortion clinics. And I've seen women going to kill their baby, turn and decide to go give birth to that baby. And let that baby live. Amen. Thank you, that's a good amen right there from that baby. I think that was it, but amen. Let's look at this. I know I'm going to close. Let me run through this right quick. I want you to, number one, look at the empowerment of a Christian soldier. Look at the empowerment of a Christian soldier. Now, therefore, my son, be strong. Talking about empowerment for this battle. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now we're talking about a soldier. A soldier has to be strong. A soldier has to be in top physical condition. A soldier can't go into battle anemic, underfed, malnourished. That's why when these soldiers go into the military, whatever branch, they go through basic training. And I mean, the training is strenuous. It's physical. It's running, it's push-ups, it's pull-ups, they'll come in there in the middle of the night and wake you up, take you out for a 3-mile run. They want you to be in shape. Because if you're going to be in a fight, if you're going to fight a battle as a physical soldier, You've got to be in tip-top shape. You've got to be strong. Amen? Amen. So God says his word to us today. Our Heavenly Father, our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord of our salvation, the Captain of our salvation, says through us to the Apostle Paul to us today, church, he said, we've got to be strong. We've got to have that stamina. We've got to have that strength. But here it is. Again, as opposed to physical strength, our battle is fought. Our empowerment comes in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful we have strength for this battle today to fight over for Jesus. And that strength is his grace. Amen. I'm thankful. That same grace that he saved you with. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the strong grace of God that saves your soul? And that same grace that saves you. That same grace that seals you. That keeps you saved. Aren't you thankful God didn't save you with a part-time salvation? A warranty that runs out. There's no warranty on your salvation. Once he saves you, I think the Bible still teaches, once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, excuse me, theologian, but that's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, some of these guys are educated without their intelligence. The word everlasting doesn't mean to them what it means to me. But over there, see, I can see where I grew up. Everlasting means forever.
Amen.
Hey, man, aren't you glad God saves us and he saved you forever? My brother lies over there in Parkland Hospital right now. I was with him yesterday, and the doctor told me he's just days away from crossing over. I looked into his face yesterday at the hospital. Talked to him about when he got saved. And he said, Captain, tell me, David, just hear about when God saved you. I knew it, but I wanted to hear it. Now he's praying, yes. And he told me that he was saved over there at the Lake June Road Baptist Church over there, Open Door Baptist Church over there on Lake June Road, but in Pleasant Grove. Some of you know what Pleasant Grove is. Dr. Joe Boyd, my brother of Jesus. He said, well, I always lived for the Lord. But I've never gotten over the fact that he saved me. And my mother, with those two brown eyes, he said to me yesterday, Mother, I'm ready to go home. I'm not afraid. I want to go see Jesus. I'm ready to go see our mama. I'm ready to go see our daddy. I'm ready to go see our papa. He said, I'm ready to go home. You know how he was able to say that? By the strength of the grace of God. My Bible still says that the grace of God is sufficient. Sufficient for every situation you're facing today. Someone asked D.L. Moody one time, Dr. Moody, do you have dying grace? Dr. Moody said, no. D.L. Moody, the great preacher that touched America up there in Chicago, Moody Bible College. Dr. Moody, do you have dying grace? D.L. Moody said, no, I do not have dying grace. And the questioner said, wait a minute. You're the great evangelist, the great preacher. You don't have dying grace? And Dr. Moody said, no, I'm not dying yet. I'm not dying right now. But when it's my time to die, God will give me dying grace. Aren't you thankful for the same grace that he saved you with, that he sealed you with, that he sufficiently supplies throughout your Christian life? As we're engaged in this battle, where we can look upon every day in this fight. So I just get tired. Hey, I get tired too, but I'm thankful this battle is on a physical battle. I mean, there's some physical effects of it. But I'm here to tell you something, friend. I'm thankful after being saved over 53 years, and I can say today, I can testify myself that I'm in this fight today because of the grace of God. Amen. We need to stand in the grace. It's not in our strength. It's not us. It's not our intellect. It's not our ability. It's not our talent. It's not our education. It's not our checkbook balance. This battle is fought by the power and grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we have guaranteed strength for this fight. Not only do we have the empowerment of the Christian soldier, but verse 2 deals with the equipment of the Christian soldier. Well, if you're going to have the war, if you're going to be in the battle, you better have something to fight with, amen? Because praise weapons. I mean, David went in the battle with Goliath, as they were singing about. And he just took five stones. You ever wonder why he took five stones? Yeah, I think why he took five stones, because the Bible says Goliath had four brothers. God, for he intended to get all of them, amen. And he sure came up. He gave Eliza headache or like a man before he David took that sword and cock and gave him a stop. He cut his head off what he did. But David won the battle. Because he had the right equipment. Saul tried to put a coat of armor on him and tried to give him a big shield and a big sword and all this stuff that David. He was a shepherd boy. He'd been using that. He already had the right weapon. Because he'd already killed a bear and already killed a lion with those stones. But they tried to give him a weapon that he wasn't ready for it. So if we're going to be in this battle, look what the Bible says is our equipment. And the things, here it is, the things. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same thing that you've been, that I've taught you, Paul said, those same things you commit to other faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so they can teach others, so that they can teach others. And that brings us up to 2023. I'm standing here before you today. Brother Nick Harris has preached so faithfully for all these many years of ministry. You know why we were able to preach the Word of God and stay on track for the Lord? It's because we were taught by some men of God that did exactly what Paul told Timothy to do. Paul said, Timothy, just as Paul first got saved, remember those early Christians, they didn't think Paul could be saved. He was Saul of Tarsus. He killed Christians. He was a feared man till Jesus changed his life on the Damascus Road. And when he got saved, they began to pour the truth of God into him. And the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, became the Apostle Paul. And he wrote 13 books of our New Testament. And so here, after all these years of Paul's ministry, here he comes upon this young preacher. And he says, now, Timothy, the Word of God, here's the weapon of our battle. Here's our only weapon. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, the Word of God that we poured into my life, Paul said, I'm going to pour into your life. And then, Timothy, what your job is, you take that same Bible truth, the same Word of God, and commit that to others. And then they can teach others. And they can teach others. And every man of God that stands in the pulpit today, the reason why is because we've been taught that the Word of God is our battle weapon. Amen? Here's our weapon of warfare. This is a duct tape Bible. This duct tape version. Amen? I got a little duct tape on this one. I've done four of these this way. But I love the sword of the Spirit. Amen? I'm telling you, this battle, there's one main battle weapon. I mean, I was watching TV the other day. I'm fascinated with this show. Some of you watch it on cable television, on Discovery Channel, I think it is. There's a show called Weaponology. And Weaponology, each episode, it's about a 30-minute episode, and each episode deals with military equipment. One episode may be about the best helicopter for combat. Another episode might be with the best army tank. The other fighting vehicle. One episode deal with the best pistol. One may involve the best other kind of military equipment. And I guess I'm just a geek about that, but I love to keep up with it. But what fascinates me about that, Brother Dick, if you ever watch the show, each episode they'll grade the top 10 of those whatever weapon they're dealing with, whether it's a rifle or an aircraft or a fighting vehicle. They always do an analysis of each of the 10 best around the world, whatever nation that offers this, and they grade them on their in endurance, they grade them on their lethality, they grade them on the fact that they how powerful they are, how they operate actually under combat, and so they grade them 1 to 10. And from the 10 being the 1 being the most powerful of that particular weapon. So let me just do a little right quickly. Let me tell you about this weapon. When it comes to this weapon right here, this weapon, according to their analysis, I can say this weapon works in any kind of combat situation. Amen. Can you say amen to that? I mean, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, I've seen it work in every kind of application of our life. I've taken it to the rescue mission downtown Dallas. Man, I cut my teeth preaching on the rescue mission. And I tell you, I've seen, these eyes have seen men who were derelicts and alcoholics and drug addicts. I've seen this weapon. I've seen this weapon so touch their heart and their life that it would come to the altar and come to know Jesus Christ in a rescue mission. I've seen this weapon work in that kind of spiritual combat. I've seen it work for 26 years in the Mesquite Jail and other prisons. I took this weapon in the death row on a Thanksgiving one Thursday down to Ellis One, and we saw 62 of those inmates who were never going to walk out of that prison. I saw over 60 of them come to know Jesus in the death of you. I've seen this weapon work in that kind of setting. I mean, that's a good problem. That's a powerful weapon right there, amen? And the thing about this weapon is, compared to physical weapons, this weapon never fails. Amen? Some of those weapons that fit in the physical body, sometimes the weapon will get too hot, or it'll get some mud in the in a firing pin, and it's sometimes not dependable. Some of the weapons, it's not really dependable in a certain situation. I can tell you more than anything, you can testify, others you can testify, you've never been in a situation where this sword of the Spirit, with the weapon of God, the Word of God, our equipment, ever fails. Amen? The Word of God never fails. It's eternal, by the way. You don't ever have to replace it. You don't ever have to wonder, does it still work? Oh, man, I told a friend the other day, and I told some folks the other day, we were down in the streets of Dallas when I was a student at Crystal College. We used to preach on the streets of Dallas right there in front of Dean and Marka. I mean, Dean and Marcus. Some of you caught that. Some of you wake up, you caught that Dean and Marka. I said, well, Dean and Marcus. Because, well, nothing, you weren't planning on Dean and Marcus. That's where the buses would come in downtown Dallas. I was in downtown Dallas last night, dodging traffic, trying to get back to home to East Texas. But, that the buses would come and drop people off on the afternoon, and they would have to wait 10 minutes before the next bus would come, they could catch their connecting bus. And so we had a pulpit on wheels that Dr. John said, we all built this pulpit, had two wheels on it, and after school on every Thursday, about 30 or 40 of us would take off down to the sidewalks right there past the Republic Bank building, and go and walk right down to downtown, dragging this pulpit on wheels behind us, and we were singing, we're marching to Zion, raising grace, singing through downtown Dallas. She said, that's corny. No, it's combat. Amen. And we set that pulpit up to the front of Lady Marcus with those buses. We let all those people. And our professor was there. And they said, okay, preach. You've got 6 minutes. And so I said, well, you've been preaching longer than 6 minutes. I know, I'm just about done. Bear with me. But we back then, we preached 6 minutes because that's how long it took for the next bus to come. And those people were going to leave. You didn't have long. I was down there for several weeks. There was a guy who kept walking by us week after week. He was a stockbroker. He was with a big stock exchange there in Dallas. And, man, this guy was mad at us. He would come by. I think he came by on purpose to kind of harass us. He'd come by and curse at us. He'd come by and spit on us. He'd come by and give us all kind of finger gestures. And it wasn't that, okay? Folks, it was not finger, okay? For those of you watching. And he was just, he was vituperative. He was recalcitrant. He was mad. He was mean. And he kept talking, why do you keep coming by? He wants to hit us again on the streets. Get out of here. But you know what? We just turned back as we was out there preaching, telling people how to get saved. Aren't you glad somebody told you how to get saved? That's all we were trying to do. We were telling our opinions or our ideas. We were just opening the Word of God, John 3:16 or some very familiar verse to tell people to come to Jesus. But one day that guy walked by. I mean, he was dressed like a man. He was one of those $800 hippie Freeman suits. I mean, he was a high roller. But you know what happened that day? One day he stopped with me. He stopped to listen. And on that day, he wasn't cursing. That day, he wasn't throwing out profanities. That day, David McDonald listened to the gospel. And someone noticed a tear in his eye. I'll tell you what this weapon did. God's spirit, God's word. The Bible says in Hebrews that this is sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, men's swords in physical combat cut from the outside in, but this sword of the spirit cuts from the inside out. Brother Rick, God touched his heart that day. David comes up, saved by the grace of God. God changed him. He was a playboy. He was a womanizer. He took by his own testimony. He was a party animal. But you know what God did? This weapon, this powerful weapon called the Word of God, pierced his heart and exposed his sin. And he gave his heart and faith to Christ and was saved. And it wasn't too many months later that God called him to preach. He was a student at our Bible college, and he became class president. Within 3 years, he was class president at the Crystal Bible College. God saved him. I'm thankful for the power of the Word of God. Amen. Can you say amen to that? If you've been saved, you know what I'm talking about. This Bible is still changing my life. And I have nothing but confidence in the equipment called the sword of the spirit. Isaiah said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now let me just mention right quickly what he done. Not only the empowerment of the Christian soldier, the equipment of the Christian soldier, but look at verse 3, where he describes the endurance of the Christian soldier. There, therefore, endure. There's the word, endure hardness. Endure what? Hardness with me as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Now, if you these soldiers have been in combat, been in the military, there's nothing easy about a war. There's nothing easy about a fight. And there are times in the fog of war, it's called, and you don't know what's going to happen. I heard a general say one time, someone asked him in a public meeting I was in, a young boy asked this general, it wasn't a church meeting, it was a political meeting, to be honest with you. And this young man said, general, he was a 4-star. And he said, do you believe in God? And this guy already talked about the different combat zones he had served in and battles he had fought, led his men into in actual combat. And he just said, very humbly, he said, son, the guy asked him, do you believe in God? He said, if there's no foxholes. There's no atheist in a foxhole. You don't even find an atheist in a foxhole. When those bullets are buzzing by your head, you don't wonder, is there a God? You're calling out for his help. And it gets tough. And let me just say this, and we'll continue the court of it. In this battle that we're in, it's not easy fighting for Christ. Anyway, it's not. This is here again, referring to those that say, yeah, you know, the Christian life, the tiptoes and the tulips and all this stuff. Let me tell you something, man. We need to be strong in the power of God's grace. But we need to be strong in our faith, strong in our will, strong in our commitment. Amen. This is not the hour, soldiers, or Christian soldiers, for us to be anemic and indecisive and to be on the fence. And, straddling the middle of the road. It's not time for these preachers out here. I'm hearing them all the time. You see them on television. They won't say anything straight. They say, well, if you don't kind of get saved and sort of come to Jesus, you're going to go to hell, so to speak. Listen, Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. It's not time to soft sell and tickle ears and mess around. It's time for preachers. I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm not talking about being mean or haughty or any of that junk. I'm talking about it's time for some Christians to get bold in our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not after getting in anybody's face. It's time for us to get over the inferiority complex and tell listen, we're not a footstool. We're not on the losing side. I don't care what they say about us. We didn't say whatever you want to say about us. But I just want to say, I read the back of this book and I know how this thing's going to turn out. Amen. And we have a Savior who's never failed. We have a Bible that's never failed us. And we have the greatest message of all in this battle. And that's telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and building great churches and building great families. And so let's endure. Let's don't quit. Let's don't falter. Listen, I'm tired of teaching Sunday school. Listen, I get tired. We all get tired. But listen, I'm thankful when you and I were babies, there were some Christians that went before us, and they got tired too. But I guarantee you, they didn't quit. They didn't get out. They didn't just sit by. They said, we're going to pull up time of our our belt and tighten our chin strap, as our coach used to say, and we're just going to keep on fighting. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, my own preaching here. Let me close. I can tell it's time to close here. Let's look at the engagement of the Christian soldier. We're done. We talked about the empowerment, the equipment, the endurance. But here's the last word of warning and admonishment. He says, Paul said to Timothy, and God's saying to us today through this. Look at it, verse 4. No man that warreth, and in your study Bible, it may say what mine says, no soldier on service. In other words, when you have a mission, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Look at that word, entangle. It means to get caught up in. It means to get held up. It's like a spider's web catching an innocent insect. You don't get harassed. You don't get stuck in the affairs of this life. Why? Here's why we don't need to do that. That's so that we may please him who hath chosen, King James has chosen, enrolled him to be a soldier. You know what? As I said at the beginning of this message, I'll close it with this. When God saved us, he put us in this fire. He saved us by his marvelous grace and mercy. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve one thing God's ever done for me. I deserve the devil's hell, what I deserve. If you don't mind me saying it, so do you. But I'm thankful God doesn't save us because we're good. He saved us by his grace. Amen. And if it weren't for the grace of God, none of us would be going to heaven. But I'm thankful anyone who's ever will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. But what we've got to be aware of here in this day, in this hour, this battle that we're in, that we not get distracted. That we not get entangled with all of it. Listen, these entanglements that can distract us and keep us from fulfilling our mission. I'm talking about winning souls and building the church and reaching people of this generation. That's our main mission. I mean, I understand those that want to go dig water wells and go plant wings in India. And that's all good and fine. But I'm going to tell you, we're not here. The church is not here to be a political situation. We're not here. We're not a political organization. We're not a philanthropic organization. We're not a food pantry. Even though we do that at our church, it's probably you do too. Our main mission is to tell people that who are dying on their way to hell, that Jesus Christ, God so loved them that God sent his only begotten Son, so that Christ died on the cross for our sins, paid our sin debt. He was buried, and on the third day rose again. He's a living Savior that can save anybody who will turn to Christ in faith. God will save anybody. I've seen him save anywhere from Sunday school classes to death row. He can save anybody. Amen? That's our main mission. And we must not let anything hinder us from that fulfilling that mission. Here's the best way I don't close. I'm a soldier. That's what it says here. I'm a soldier. I don't know who wrote this, but I like it. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, framed by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire from this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out of this army. I'm faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me to teach children in Sunday school, to work with youth, to teach or to help teach adults, or just sit and learn, God can use me because I'm there. If he needs me in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek, during revival, or special services, I'm there. I'm here to preach, teach, sing, play, work, and worship. God can use me because I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in my place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, candy, cards, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I will still break even. And I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I'm more than a conqueror. That's Romans chapter 8, beloved. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. The government cannot silence me. I said the government cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. When my commander calls me, I'm almost done. When my commander calls me for this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I'm a soldier in God's army. I will never surrender to the enemy. I will never turn back. I'm a soldier marching heavenward, claiming victory as I go. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? As I said, I don't know who wrote that, but I said to myself, you know, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, here's my decision. I will be a faithful soldier. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for prayer. Our pastor's coming for a time of decision. This altar is open for prayer. Maybe you'd like to come down here in this special day, this special moment. Maybe the Lord has touched your heart as he has mine. I'll join you down here praying. These are the days we can have a great revival right here. Listen, God is ready to get it. He wants our attention. He wants our commitment. He wants our devotion today. He deserves our best. Amen. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today without Jesus, if you're watching on the internet without Jesus, right now, why don't you just confess to the Lord that you're a sinner? Admit you're a sinner. God cannot save anybody that won't admit they're a sinner and need salvation. You can't find me saved. You can't be saved. You don't know you need to be saved. But if you're today willing and ready, and you're tired of sin, you're tired of sin's deception, and tired of sin's domination and defeat, I'm here to tell you there's one that can give you help. Only one that can get you help. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you call me his name and ask him to be your Savior? Say, Lord, I'm ready to turn to you. I'm ready to be saved. Lord, save me. Man, woman, boy, girl. Lord, I need to be saved. I need you as my Savior. Please save me. Lord, come into my heart. Why don't you pray like this? Lord, change my mind. Change my life. Lord, I know I can't save myself, but I know you can save me. And I trust you to be my Savior. Lord, help me now to live for you with all my life. But it's ahead of me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me today. If you prayed something like that, I want you to come and tell one Nick right here today you're making that decision to follow Christ. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Christian, my Christian friend, I know the vast majority of you here are saved, you know the Lord. It's time for us to re-up. It's time for us to re-enlist. Amen. You can follow me with the man of the Lord. It's time to re-enlist to be the soldier God's called us to be. Lord, may God help us to have revival. Rededication of life. Let this day be a new start in your walk with God. Father, let's so give to us with the singing. The word of God has been so powerful in our hearts today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. And Lord, seal these truths to our heart and give us grace to respond. That we might live here in a moment, give it that we can. And we'll give you all the thanks, glory, and honor before you, Jesus. God's touched your heart.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We invite you to like us on Facebook or visit our website, www.bearcreekbaptist.org. If you're not a member of another church, we would like to invite you to join us in person and get to know us, and let us get to know you. Have a great week, and may the Lord richly bless you.